from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Minister Agus Harimurti says relationship of Indonesia and Canada has developed significantly. Canada wants to collaborate with Indonesia to tackle climate change. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian Minister of Agrarian and Spatial Planning Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono conveyed that the relationship between Indonesia and Canada has developed significantly over the past 7 decades. He viewed that the relationship of both countries has not only been tested by the time, but also developed and contributed to the global peace and development. This was conveyed by Minister Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono in his speech at the Canada Day celebration held by the Canadian Embassy in Jakarta on Wednesday.
Over the past 7 decades, Indonesia and Canada have enjoyed a steadfast and enduring partnership built upon mutual trust, shared values, and common aspirations. Despite our geographical distance, our commitment to promoting peace, stability, and prosperity knows no limits. Our diplomatic ties have not only stood the test of time, but have also thrived, significantly contributing to the investment of global peace and development.
Moreover, Minister Agus added that the relationship between Indonesia and Canada can also be seen from the achievement of cooperation in various aspects and the relationship between the leaders of both countries in various aspects, such as the G20 and ASEAN summit. He has also stated that this year Indonesia wants to immediately finalize the Indonesia-Canada Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement to encourage trade and investment from both countries. Minister Agus believes that the partnership between the two countries will continue to develop by driving common values and aspiration. Canadian Ambassador to Indonesia, Jess Dutton, has conveyed that Canada is attempting to collaborate with Indonesia on some issues, including critical minerals and climate change. This was said by Ambassador Jess Dutton while celebrating Canada Day in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also explained that climate change has impacted not only some regions of the world, but also Indonesia and Canada.
We're looking to collaborate on a broad range of issues, including critical minerals, and of course, working very, very closely together to deal with the issue of climate change that is affecting not only Indonesia, but Canada here as well. We're very pleased to be really engaged in this country. We provide a lot of assistance and partnership in terms of addressing plastic, dealing with mangrove and peat rehabilitation, sustainable farming, forestry, and of course the blue economy. So it's a very important issue.
Moreover, Ambassador Dutton also said that Canadian companies are very interested not only in investing, but also in doing business in Indonesia. Therefore, he admitted that his side was accelerating the preparation of the Indonesia-Canada Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, whose negotiations have now entered the 8th round. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi paid a courtesy visit to Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim in Kuala Lumpur on Wednesday. During the visit, Minister Retno Marsudi conveyed President Joko Widodo's greetings to Prime Minister Anwar. In a statement released by her office, she viewed that this visit also aims to prepare for the annual meeting between the two leaders in 2024, which will be hosted by Indonesia. Minister Retno Marsudi also provided an update on the progress of land border negotiation between Indonesia and Malaysia, with the completion of negotiations on two land segments, namely on Sabatik Island and Sinapat Sesai. Indonesia and Australia explore greater cooperation in energy, green economy. Secretary of the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, Susi Wiono Mugiarso, discussed strengthening cooperation in energy transition and green economy with Secretary of the Australian Department of Climate Change, Energy, Environment and Water, David Fredericks, with This Week. According to Mugiarso, in a statement released by his office on Wednesday, Australia is an important partner for Indonesia. In 2023, Australian foreign direct investment FDI in Indonesia grew by 4.0% or $545.2 million. He also explained that his side sees great potentials in developing pilot projects for energy transition cooperation, especially in remote areas under the Kinetic or Partnerships for Climate, Renewable Energy and Infrastructure Framework Program. Let's move it on to the international news, where the Hamas militant group said Wednesday it has sent new ideas to Qatari mediators aimed at ending the nearly 9 months Gaza war with Israel. As quoted by ArabNews.com, Israel confirmed that it was evaluating Hamas' comments on a deal to see its hostages in the Palestinian territory freed and would be reply. With the death toll from nearly 9 months of war mounting and conditioned worsening daily for Gazans, both sides are under increased international pressures to agree a ceasefire. Israel says there can be no halt to hostilities until Hamas releases all of its hostages. Qatar, working with the United States, has been leading the mediation. No president has ever needed a public holiday like Joe Biden needs on July 4th. As reported by CNN.com, President Joe Biden is battling frantically to save his political career by escalating defiance, but he's in danger of being swamped by a rising tide against him as more Democrats express doubt that he can beat Donald Trump after a disastrous debate performance. The president will gather family members who will be critical to his future deliberations on his re-election campaign at the White House for Independence Day, in sore need of a slow news day that would allow him to regroup for potentially the most critical 48 hours of his political career. President Vietnam Thu Lam conveyed that Vietnam has always considered Belarus a friend and trusted partner and appreciated the Belarusians' help for Vietnam in the past, and is determined to continue strengthening multifaceted cooperation with Belarus. As reported by VOVworld.vn, receiving Ambassador of Belarus to Vietnam, Uladzimir Baraviku, on Wednesday in Hanoi, the president affirmed that Vietnam values the traditional friendship and multifaceted cooperation with Belarus, which has been nurtured by the leaders and people of the two countries since the Soviet era and been promoted over the past 30 years since the two countries established diplomatic ties in 1992. President Thu Lam applauded the result of cooperation between the two countries, including promoting the Intergovernmental Committee mechanism in implementing cooperation agreements and efforts to further cooperation in politics, diplomacy, economic trade, investment, defense, security, science, technology, culture, education, and local cooperation. Listener, now let's move in on to Diplomatic Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Investment Authority, INA, and the Australian Embassy signed a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, to increase Australian investment cooperation in Indonesia. INA Chairperson of the Board Directors, Rida Wirakusuma, said in a statement in Jakarta on July 2nd that this MOU is an important step in attracting and increasing Australian investment in Indonesia. This partnership is hoped to encourage significant Australian investment in important sectors that supports Indonesia's growth and development. The MOU was signed by Rida Wirakusuma and Australian Ambassador to Indonesia, Penny Williams, PSM. The partnership is a follow-up of the Invested Australia Southeast Asia Economic Strategy 2040 announced by Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese in Jakarta in September 2023. Rida also explained that the program aims to increase Australian investment into Indonesia including through the new Australian Embassy Jakarta Investment Deal Team. The Australian Embassy Jakarta Investment Deal Team combines private sector, government and financing services to support investment from Australia in Indonesia. The team will work with INA to identify suitable assets and structures, ensuring that the opportunity is ready for Australian investors to invest in. Ambassador Penny Williams said that her country continues to strengthen strategic economic cooperation with Indonesia, which is one of Australia's key partners. The Australian Embassy Jakarta Investment Deal Team will work with INA to connect Indonesian projects with Australian investors to create business and employment opportunities for both countries.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Let's start today in history. On July 4, 1927, when the Indonesian National Party was established, the Indonesian National Party was founded in Bandung area, West Java. The party, which had initial title of the Indonesian National Association, was founded by Soekarno along with Cipto Mangunkusumo, Sartono, Iskak, Cokro Adisuryo, and Sunaryo. The party had nationalism as its ideology. The Indonesian National Party is the oldest party in Indonesia, which was respected by the Dutch, because at that time the Indonesian National Party spread the teachings of the independence movement. The Dutch then issued instruction to arrest a number of founders of Indonesian National Party, including Soekarno. He was put in Sukamiskin prison, Bandung. Let's move on to the next event about the Battle of Kursk that happens on July 4, 1943. The Battle of Kursk was a battle in World War II between Germany and Soviet Union. The Battle of Kursk took place on the Eastern Front near Kursk, Soviet Union. The battle won by Soviet Union occurred from July to August. This battle marked the largest tank battle in history. Almost 3 million people, 8,000 tanks and 5,000 warplanes fought in the battle lasted for a day, has become the biggest combat shooting event in human history. We end today in history with the Philippines Republic's Day. The Philippine Republic Day, also called the Philippine-American Friendship Day, is an annual celebration day in the Philippines held every July 4th. It was once an official holiday marking Independence Day to commemorate the Treaty of Manila, liberating the Philippines from American rule and recognizing the independence of the Republic of the Philippines. The treaty was signed on July 4, 1946 in Manila, the capital of Philippines.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Environment Ministry highlights the need for waste management industrialization. Director for Waste Management at the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Nof Rizal Tahar, on Tuesday conveyed that waste management industrialization became a necessary move to support waste management in the country. He viewed that waste management needs serious handling. Nof Rizal Tahar specifically instructed the regional government in regencies and cities as regulator to not get involved directly in waste collection, but to hand it over to professionals in waste management. About waste management industrialization by means of circular economy principle, he referred to the use of technology to use waste such as for energy and industrial raw material so that it doesn't end up being mixed in the landfill. The waste management in Indonesia, Nof Rizal Tahar further said, has a great unexplored potential. For example, the animal feed industry in Indonesia is still importing wheat offal for raw material. Meanwhile, he added waste management with maggots as organic decomposers can help replace the animal feed that is still being imported. Besides, Director for Waste Management at the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry also highlighted the waste potential for energy inaugurated in 12 cities and waste management using the refuse-derived fuel technology which processes inorganic waste as alternative fuel in various industries. Specifically about refuse-derived fuel, Nof Rizal Tahar pointed out that Indonesia has potential of takers including cement industry spread across 31 cities and regencies in 15 provinces, as well as coal power plants in 47 cities and regencies in 26 provinces. The refuse-derived fuel off-taker potential is fertilizer industry in 7 cities or regencies in 5 provinces, pulp and paper industry in 31 cities or regencies in 7 provinces, and textile industry in 34 cities or regencies in 3 provinces. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Sejak pertama bertemu, terbayang senyum indah di matamu. Kau berikan tatapan cinta untukku. Jatuh cinta, ku jatuh cinta. Rindu terasa mengancam dadaku saat kau selalu hadir di mimpiku. Hati jiwaku selalu memanggilmu, kasihku. Ku cinta kau, ku cinta kau. Hanya kamu di hatiku. Takkan pernah kan terganti sampai kau jadi milikku. Yeah, yeah. Mengancam dadaku saat kau selalu hadir di mimpiku. Hati jiwaku selalu memanggilmu, kau kasihku. Ku cinta kau, ku cinta kau. Hanya kamu di hatiku. Takkan pernah kan terganti sampai kau jadi milikku. karena jiwa ini, raga ini memanggil namamu. Kau tahu sejak pertama bertemu, ku jatuh cinta.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
If you are on a trip to South Sulawesi, try visiting the Bali Angin Tourism Village. Bali Angin Tourism Village is one of the tourist villages listed in the Top 50 Indonesian Tourism Village Award 2024. Indonesian Tourism Village Award is an award-giving event for tourist villages based on assessment criteria from the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy. Bali Angin Tourism Village is often dubbed a hidden gem that offers unique and enchanting tourist experience in South Sulawesi. One of its unique features is that it has the second largest karst cluster landscape after South China. Bali Angin Tourist Village is located in Balochi District at Pangkajene, an island regency. From the town center of Pangkajene, it can be reached in about 1 hour and 30 minutes. Bali Angin Tourist Village is located in a karst cluster, so it has many tourist attractions such as Taman Batu or Park of Rock, which is 5 to 15 million years old. Around the area, you can go trekking and take selfies with unique karst rock landscape. It is also the oldest ancient painting in the world, estimated to be 45,500 years old, and is witness to ancient human civilization. The painting provides a deep understanding of the life and art of prehistoric humans. Bali Angin also has many waterfalls. You can visit the waterfalls to enjoy the fresh water and its cool natural weather. You can also go along with the Batangi River with river tubing activity. The expanse of rice fields and flowing rivers are one of the main attractions to enjoy and feel the village life. You can enjoy the beautiful village scenery by exploring it using an ATV. To spend the night there, don't worry, there is Lulu Park or Kafuan Resort. If you spend the night there, you will experience quality accommodation with the comfortable touch of nature.
Keindahan penantian, terjak keraguan hati yang bimbang, yang terhalang kepastian cinta. Bertuan terasa kerinduan hati yang bimbang, yang terhempas kepastian cinta. Dengarkanlah
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Well, listeners, welcome back to our program Miscellany. Today's edition of Miscellany comes to greet you with the title IndoFest 2024. Listener, if you love adventure, exploring the outdoors and trying new things, Indonesia Festival Outdoor or IndoFest 2024 is back in Jakarta. The largest outdoor and adventure equipment exhibition in Southeast Asia takes place from 4th to 7th of July 2024 at the Jakarta Convention Center or JCC, to be precise, in Hall B. IndoFest 2024 is enlivened by hundreds of well-known brands from various outdoor equipment products, adventure clothing, camping equipment, to bicycle. This year, the theme is IndoFest Gear, Green, Equality, Actions, and Responsibility. With the tagline, More Outdoor, Less Waste, with this theme, it is hoped that all parties who adventure in nature can preserve nature. Not only shopping, there are many activities to participate in from indoor to outdoor at the IndoFest 2024. Coming to this event, you can learn to do outdoor activities. So if you are a beginner, no need to worry. There are lots of workshops and demonstrations on what is needed when doing outdoor activities. For example, learning land navigation techniques with compasses and maps, or learning to cook in the wild with minimal camping equipment. In the outdoor area, you can try miniature rock climbing or experience a virtual reality adventure. As always, the exhibition also features musical performances. Some of them are idols of outdoor lovers. This year, IndoFest 2024 is targeted to be attended by 5,000 visitors. That was Miss Lenny. Bye-bye.
Jangan pernah tinggalkan.
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we are going to play a song titled Cintaku or My Love by an Indonesian pop legend, Chrisye. The upbeat and cheerful song Cintaku or My Love has poetic lyric. The song composed by Aris Jarrod and Debbie Nasution tells about how it feels to fall in love and how joyful the feeling is. The song Cintaku was released in the album Badai Pasti Berlalu or Storm Always Passes in 1977. This album was dubbed as a masterpiece and ranked first in Rolling Stone Indonesia 150 Best Album in Indonesia on December 2007. The album has many everlasting songs such as Badai Pasti Berlalu, Serasa Semusim, Merpati Putih, and Cintaku. Well, here is Chrisye with Cintaku.
Cintaku, gelora asmara, seindah lembah
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Denganku walau mencuri waktu tiada guru. Malu, aku malu. Ada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding, menatapku curiga. Seakan penuh tanya, sedang apa di sini? Menanti pacar jawabku. Sungguh aneh tapi nyata, takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Malu, aku malu pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding, menatapku curiga. Seakan penuh tanya, sedang apa di sini? Menanti pacar jawabku. Sungguh aneh tapi nyata, takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Masa-masa paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah.